Welcome to a very special Hardy White. I mean, they're all special. They're all special. It's not even. It's special to me. I mean, they're all special to me. You're special. Everybody's special. No, let me take that back. They're not all special to me. And not everyone is special to me. But you are if you're listening. It doesn't mean anything if I give it out that freely. So, yeah. This one's special to me. There are several Greek philosophers whose body of work is not made up of copious scrolls and writings, but of fragments, short statements. They are all that remain of, say, the works of Heraclitus or Ximpicius, and we know nothing else about them. Fragments. There are other arts and disciplines in which only fragments exist of a thing, and one of them is something we're going to be covering tonight. I'm very excited about it. There is a portion of a pilot from 1983 that I did that was lost forever, and I'm going to have you listen to it tonight. Now, there's no pictures, and this is very important because it was not conceived of having any pictures, and yet there are large segments that seem to be music-only backgrounds for montage scenes or something like that, or just wordless establishing of action, you know. And so I'm not sure whether, you know, it is a comprehensive musical piece, which is how it was, you know, conceived as a listening piece, something to be half listened to. Because isn't that what the music in a lot of TV shows is? It doesn't want to command your full attention. Then it would be a music video. I mean, if every scene had Never Going to Give You Up, you'd just be looking at, you'd be listening to the music, and the visuals would sort of be secondary, like in music videos in the early days of MTV or something. And you'd have the song, it's my favorite song. I don't know what nonsense is going on, but they have to have something because it's a video. Now, this is me working backwards, where I say, do we need the pictures? Because sometimes I've had on old TV shows and I've just been half listening to them, you know, just for company. Instead of static or some other ASMR, I'll put on an early 80s adventure program like Rockford Files or something. Lately, I have been listening to and kind of sort of watching sometimes The Rousters, which is a Jim Varney type Rockford Files, Stephen Cannell thing from 1983. And I am enamored with it as an audio work. I mean, it's, you could say, oh, that's cliche and everything, but it's not making me pay attention. And a lot of art thinks it needs your full attention, and not everything's a masterpiece. You know, most music isn't something that you really need to sit down and watch it. It's for keeping you company while you clip your nails or something. And, oh, artists don't want you to think that. No, you must stop everything you're doing. Well, then I'm going to fill a niche, and I'm going to make stuff that you don't have to directly listen to. It's just there, you know, just in the background. Like when your air conditioner doesn't go, hey, I'm keeping you cool. It doesn't keep yelling at you or anything. And, oh, I'm sorry. It shouldn't need strokes. So, have you ever played in a band in a bar that has pool tables or something? There you go. I mean, they don't care what's going on the stage. Stop it. Stop it and listen to my songs. It doesn't work that way. So you say, well, I'm not making furniture music. I'm making something that's evocative and everything. Well, let it be evocative in the background. And so there's adventure going on next door. I don't have to get involved. And that's the way I look at these old TV shows and everything, and I just like to listen. I had very dramatic neighbors one time when I was living in an apartment, and they would compete with my television, and sometimes I would just let them win. And as long as nobody was getting hurt, I was like, oh, you know, it's Scream, get it out. Get it all out of there with your words. And so I learned to just have just the audio part or something. And of an age of telephone, did a lot of my relationships were just on the telephone. I know people have pictures now, but we didn't have, what do you mean your relationships? I just mean, you know, call people long distance, the relatives and stuff. You didn't always see them, and you couldn't visually see them. So you talk to them on the phone, and then when you did see them, it would be a jarring shock. But that's just the old days. I don't know. I guess it's good now. It's, oh, there's a, I've watched Mima age on Skype or Zoom. But not me. I was just, ooh. No, I grew up with my grandmother, who is somebody I'm trying to think. But, you know, aunts and uncles. I go, oh, my goodness. I don't remember you having that kind of sunken skull head, Uncle Dell or something. Well, I'm very excited about listening to this now. It's about, so a proper pilot for one of these things would be an hour and a half. Because the episodes are an hour of the Rousters or something like that. And I guess with commercials, I don't know, what are they, 40 minutes for an hour show or something? It used to be, go, that's a lot of commercials, but they didn't care. They don't care now. Say, oh, you get your buy a service. All right, and here's some commercials because you miss them. Because I know you got a potty, but I got pause. Got a party. So even commercials know that sometimes you're not going to be directly listening to them. Like the one that yells, I'm not going to say the name of the company. I don't want to give them free advertising. I'll just say something that rhymes. So they yell puberty, puberty, puberty at you all the time on their things. Like, I don't want to buy your insurance because you're yelling at me like that. You're trying to get my attention or something. Just be on the background going, did you know you require insurance? And that'll be nice. And then I'll go, ooh, I believe that this company understands me. That's a frequency I like. The Brown Noise Corporation has my ear. So some, you know, advertising agencies of old understood this. And this is why we have the Ron Hicklin Singers, who I'm fascinated with. The Ron Hicklin Singers were a professional chorus. They are the Wrecking Crew of vocals. And the Wrecking Crew were a group of musicians, West Coast musicians, who were on all albums and commercials and everything. People get, I got an idea. All right, let's hire these guys to do it. So it's the guys you hire to do it, guys and women and all sorts of things. Because Carol Kane, right? And then they have these singers, you know, you like, you deserve a break. Where'd they get these people? Well, it's the Partridge Family. It's the fake Partridge Family. It's the group that was the Partridge Family. So they just stick David Cassidy in front of these professional singers. And that's the Ron Hicklin Singers, and they're on everything. And they're on the Love American Style, second season on theme. And that's wonderful. And so many more that you recognize. A lot of things that were written by Charles Fox, is that his name, who wrote like a lot of TV theme songs. So somebody also has to write this music that goes with your Hawaii Five-O or what have you, or your Rockford Files. So you've got your Mike Post, who actually, you know, he wrote that Rockford Files theme and, boy, a lot of other ones. And he had records people get his, I want to hear that one. I listened to Rockford Files and I like that theme. I want to buy it. I don't remember people doing that before, you know. Is there any way I could get the Gilligan's Island theme on 45? You know, up until that point, I believe it was just, oh, all right. But then, you know, these theme songs are pretty good. I think I'd like to sit in my car and listen to the Cheers song, or I don't even know, or Bob James doing Taxi, you know? Oh, I'd like to sample that for my future hip-hop song. Or, who knows? Oh, what a wonderful thing, television. Now I don't know how it works, if it works the same. Listen, a lot of the things I listen to, there's obviously, they like a lot of that. And also they like they like what I call space shakuhatsu, or whatever. They've got the Mandalorian wooden flute or whatever it is. That's a big one. I love everything. It's because we're in the future. We're in the future. But that used to be, and I'm not saying if somebody was goofy or comic, they need some bassoon. Bassoon makes me laugh. And then that bassoon was, oh, serious. I need something like low trombone sitting a low note. All those sort of things. So I thought, well, you know, maybe those are the things that really matter. And the words, the script should be treated like just another instrument. Because I just think it does command. And then the actors get in there and they ham it up and they take your attention away from just listening. And I love to just close my eyes and drift off. I think the most exquisite experience I ever had was I was doing multiple listenings to My Dinner with Andre, and I fell asleep, and it was still on, and I got in that sort of like half-awake state, you know, that your brain is in up until age 7. You know, it got in me, and it sort of imprinted. I mean, it was crazy, and I couldn't stop talking like Andre for a long time. It felt nuts. I was like, why am I not listening to, like, to Mandarin lessons? Why this? You know, I am now fluent in speaking like Andre. So, and Andre, White Boy Astounds Andre Gregory Restaurant Tours by speaking like Andre Gregory. I could do that on my YouTube. And I came in here. And I saw your menu, and I knew it was time to order. I just knew I had to order, Wally. I knew like that, and I go, "Oh, hey, how'd you learn that? Did you? Where did you?" I lived it. I lived in that restaurant, the Russian restaurant. No, I don't know, man. But I love, I love the kind of television that doesn't make me pay attention. And I say, "Oh, we're living in the golden age. Everybody's talking about the TV show." If you're talking about the TV show, it's taking up space in your brain. I can't abide. I need that back after I'm done. So I like to watch a television show. You say, what was that one about? I go, no clue. Don't remember. And I love that about Father Brown is like eating bran muffins. His addy is so fast, which is great. But there's some things that builds up like media pui plaque on the colon of your consciousness, and you start remembering. Oh, I still remember that episode of whatever it is. I don't know whether True Detective or what have you. Something that gets people riled up. That's the thing, dude. That's almost the barometer. I say barometer. You say barometer. I say rectal thermometer. That is the because I think that's a more sensitive thing indicator of cultural. You know, this, that, or the other thing. But I think that you can tell if art is taking too much of people's attention, if they get all really wee-weed up, violently wee-weed up about their opinions of it or what happened that night on who, blah, blah, blah. Because I believe, and I'm not judging, I'm just saying it's healthier. Like if you're on the sidewalk puking, that's your business. But I'm saying it's healthier. Sometimes not to be that sick. But, so, you know, I'm not going to say any specific movies or TV, but it's just the things I like best. I can't imagine anybody having an opinion about one way or the other. You know, it's hard for me. And it's like different kinds of white bread, just bread. You know, I'm just what kind of bologna you like today? Just the bologna sandwich. I'm not, that's the whole point. It doesn't need to be, it's a visual audio Pop-Tart. And I don't want it to be anything more than that. You say, well, that's, well, then don't use it at all. But I use it as a sort of like a background for doing things. It helps me concentrate. And I remember it was before that there was online psychologists. People used to go to bed with their television on. I remember my uncle doing that, and I think it went to a test card at some point because they didn't go all night, you know. Finally, they caught on, and they go, oh, my God, you know, there's sensitive people still. Let's show stuff to them. Horror movies or ever like products that break plasticky products. You're up late. Why don't you buy a little compact fishing pole?
He's right.
So that's what they did, and it's comforting. And even the test card, maybe there was music. I remember there being static. But there could have been, they could have played, they played the national anthem, then usually went to static. And for the longest time, I didn't realize that that was most Americans don't realize that the end of the national anthem, there's actually like 10 minutes of static. And we leave that out at sporting events and everything, as the other verses about, you know, drinking mint juleps on the plantation. We don't sing those either. But really, that one is, it's amazing. The static's gone, but it was there when the TV started to shut itself off. And they wouldn't shut themselves off, and they do now, which is presumptuous. They do that all the time, and the YouTube will do that too. Hey, you still watching? It's, yeah, I'm still watching. What am I supposed to do? Why do you need I got a clicky-clicky all the time? I'm watching it. It's 10 hours long.
Are you still watching this?
Yes. What if I'm not? I mean, what is it to you? And the television will do that too. Like,
you know, I'll shut myself off.
Don't. I don't want you off.
Lights want to do that. You want us off?
Not really. I'll let you know. The switch isn't,
oh, it's so hard to get to the switch.
It isn't for me, and I want to, even when I'm old and it's hard to get to the switch, I want to use that as a motivational device. So I'm going to try to get to today I'm going to get to the switch and turn the lights on. And maybe it's an all-day thing. I know for an uncle, it was getting dressed became all day. And you wonder, why is he doing it? And what else? You know, got any other ideas? I guess he could, you know, get into racing stock cars. But he just set a goal that was doable, even though it took all day long, which is fine. We all do that with work, too.
Well, yeah, right. I do that, but with spreadsheets.
Exactly. And then, you know, when you're done, you go home and you cry and eat soup and do it again. And thank goodness you've got shows like this. Now, talking about a TV show like this, a snippet of it, it just feels so podcast. I don't mean to put podcast down. It's just that I think, you know, that's, and I love it that way. There's billions, millions of billions, hundreds of billions. There is so many, like bugs, some kind of cockroaches or bacteria, and they just keep coming. And more and more and more and more and more. There's so many to listen to, and they really... There are groups of fellas, a lot of ones are groups of fellas sitting around having a wonderful time talking about PP and I don't know what they're doing, but and movies they like. So when I do that, I think, oh my goodness, this is terrestrial radio. This is broadcast radio. It's reserved for things like announcing disasters. And so I don't want to, you know, I take that seriously. So I want to be, you know, I want to be reverent to this form, and don't just pee it away talking about, you know, I don't know what, like gross out. We used to call it gross out humor. I like to gross people out with philosophical concepts. I think that's cooler. Like, I feel like, you know how there's like religious groups of it? You know what's cooler than drugs and sex? Not having drugs and sex. Well, probably not. But I'm also cool because I say I am. Now, I don't want to be cool. I don't know what it is. That's the thing with language. I would love to, a lot of us find out when asked directly about our desires that we don't know what that word means that we desire. So I want blah, blah, blah. And then, so you're probably pining for something that you don't even know what it is. Also, here's a thing. This is beautiful, a beautiful, enlightening thing. A lot of people let's say musicians feel like, oh, you know, they're frustrated and bitter and sad because they believe they have a beautiful music, and if only more people could hear it. But the wonderful, liberating thing is a lot of times that's not true. And you don't have to let it go. You don't have to. Everybody doesn't have to hear it. So you should check with a professional and say, is this the kind of music that people sort of buy and listen to? Why don't you just make the background kind? I don't get it. There'd be no house painters. There would only be people, I'm sorry, I'm a fine artist. And they'd be charging, for instance, I just came from an art show, and there were canvases there that were no longer than I could stretch my arms. Thousands of dollars. All right? And I'm thinking, like, if you're walking to somebody's house and you say, you know, how many square feet do you want painted? And they said that, and they go, how much they give you? You know, and it's the same. It's like, okay, well, I'd rather just do this little square of painting. And I know what you're saying. It's what's on the canvas is some great idea. But it's not always a great idea. Sometimes it's just paint. So it's hard to know what's worth anything. So a little bit of something, as you can see, a little bit of paint, it depends where it goes, I guess. I don't know. I'm not putting down art. I'm just, it really is harder to paint the whole interior of a house. Unless it's a really good, really snazzy portrait. And it could be in any style, like Alice Neal, Bouguereau, I don't care what style portraiture, it could be very crazy. But if it's really captured something and it really has this compositional gestalt that's moving, you know, the colors and the shapes, they are evocative and they grab you. They make you feel things. You don't have to even participate. They draw you in. They become a focus of something. Yeah, yeah. But also, when a realtor walks into your house, a realtor, real estate agent, excuse me, realtor TM, walks into your house and you want to list it for sale, they'll say, well, the first thing you need to do is paint these walls a color where people won't notice anything anywhere in the house, everywhere. Just so do everything so that when people walk into this house, they'll walk out going, I don't remember it. And then that's a good thing. Because if they walk in, they go, I remember that kitchen was like really old. It was like my grandmother's kitchen from the 60s. Yeah, I remember that. But if they walk in, they go like, I think it was nice, seemed clean. So that's what you want, is these memory-erasing colors that real estate agents make you paint your walls. So that's a type of television. That is valid. Also, and I would never say to someone you can't call yourself a painter because you're a house painter. That's a sort of art. You think it's so easy, you go do it. You try cutting those crisp edges up there about between wall and ceiling. It ain't easy. I'm not even making fun. It's hard as heck. And, you know, skill is skill, skill is skill, skill is skill, is skill with thing, with paint, with music, with sound. Now, I am in no way a very good sound artist, you know, which is why I think that's why I was shooting for, like, maybe if you don't notice it, occasionally I think I can listen to things and go, oops, blurp, I've drawn attention to myself. But what I found when I was trying to emulate the composition that goes on behind, like, these kind of shows, I like the ones best that had a meandering quality to them, that you couldn't pay attention to them. It was clearly wasn't commanding your attention. Unlike jazz, some jazz doesn't. Isn't that nice? I went to a whole concert of jazz that was like, you don't have to listen directly. No one wondered that. People face the other direction at smooth jazz concerts. Go, yeah, I just like it on. There's no bad seat. Yeah, I like that. But I just went to a show where an experimental jazz show that you could not half listen to, and it was worth it. They knew what they were doing. So I'm going to play this, pop in, it's on VHS, it's got some tape hiss, it has the commercials were also recorded. I'm in it, Butchie's in it, First Lou, I'll explain that later, is in it. Gosh, goes way back. Because here's the thing, we were just starting to do time travel. And if you've ever started to do time travel, one of the first things that'll come up is the 80s. You go, I think I want to go to the 80s. It's like eating pancakes, baby. You only think you do. And we'd go back and we'd be like, good God. But we just kept going back and we made a TV series and we got famous in the 80s and all. You wouldn't remember because it's not the 80s that you experienced. So for this is great too, because now this has happened before, and I think even the Rousters might be this, and sometimes people call it the Mandela effect, is that we will go back and retrieve things from other paths that most people don't remember. And somebody will reference it and grab it and bring it into this time, and then boop, all of a sudden people think they remember, they do remember. It's very weird. And then boop, it's there. So I don't know whether I'm messing up time or something, and I'm going to play this, and you're going to think, oh my God, I remember this. And then I don't know what happens. I know your head won't explode because it's happened a billion times, believe me. Do you remember? And I think Bruce Kirby is in it. And it's a sitcom from the 70s called The Super. That wasn't there until I just said it. Now you're going to go look it up on IMDb and you're going to go, oh my God. So the Rousters is there and the Super is there. Let me play this for you because I want to leave time to talk about it. And I couldn't be more excited. I want you to think of this as a sound piece for half listening. Just a meditative piece inspired by early 80s type of, I don't even know what the genre is exactly. I'm glad it doesn't have a laugh track or anything, because a lot of things are purposely comic, and this was true for Rockford Files and others. There's stuff that's funny, and that's what's cutting edge about it, I think, is that they're going for even broad stuff, but they're not, they're not telling you where to laugh. And, let's just give it a listen. That's too much talking. Enough talking and more talking. Hardy, that's enough. Play some talking instead of talking, big talk, poof.
Played on Broadway for many, many months. Would you walk, please, Miss Lauren Bacall?
Hello.
Whoever has the blue file is in danger.
Who is this?
Don't take the blue envelope. If you do, you're dead.
This is Hardy White speaking. Who am I speaking with, please?
The blue folder. They'll come for it. They'll kill you.
Now, hang on. Is it a folder or a file? I'm getting a pen to write down. Hang on.
Beware. No, don't. No.
Hello? Hello? Oh. Huh. Hmm. Well.
Thank you. Hurry up and find that envelope.
I'm looking.
He says it's blue.
I don't see anything blue.
Come on.
20% chance of rain overnight and then clearing mid-morning.
Shut that thing off.
I hit it by mistake. Nobody's gonna hear us out here.
Must have taken it with him.
Late to get breakfast.
What do you mean by this?
I mean, is it too late to get breakfast?
Breakfast is just the name of a meal. Any food can be breakfast.
No, I was referring to traditional breakfast food.
Whose tradition?
I don't know.
Well, name a food.
I don't know. Meat. A side dish or drink.
Do you think you could be more specific?
Of course. Breakfast meat. Breakfast side dish.
Who cares? Do you have the envelope?
No, but there's a funny story that goes with it.
You are wasting my time. Where is the blue file?
That is part of the comedy element. You see, we don't know.
Well, you better know and fast. Or you will have time for breakfast death.
The Oldsmobile Grand Mark has a special something. It's not the front-wheel drive train power system or engine capacity horsepower voted among the industry best. It's not the safety or design record even. It's the feeling you get when you sit behind the wheel. It's a statement of pride. It's me and my olds.
Cole Brothers Oldsmobile.
I like flavor.
I like flavor.
I like flavor.
I like flavor.
And I like flavor.
My whole family likes flavor, especially in their bread. That's why I serve them flavor bread. The most flavorful bread there is for sandwiches, or just eating anytime.
Flavor bread.
Flavor bread.
TBC, Channel 9 in Bropus.
Look at that, Artie.
Thanks, Marjorie.
Butch, that should fix it for you.
Ah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I can take apart and reassemble a 68 Chevy Nova, but these 69s, they're a mystery to me.
No problem, man. My grandmother had one. I used to work on it.
Well, I can't pay you in money, but the least I can do is let you buy me lunch.
Well, I'd be willing to do that.
Oh, I'm putting you on. You can just make me lunch.
You're a real pal, Butch.
By the way, whatever became of that blue envelope case?
It was more like just a phone call. That weird guy called saying blue folder, and then nothing since. Thank God.
Yeah, count your blessings. You know, there can be too much excitement sometimes.
I know what you mean.
Oh, spoke too soon. Did you see where it came from? Over there, the parking lot. Be careful, Butchie. I think I hit him. You okay? Yeah, I'm all right. Dang it.
Bourgeoisie, get over here.
Coming, Captain.
Yes, Captain, what is it?
So this, Hardy White, he's a friend of yours.
Hardy White, yes, he is a friend of mine.
Well, there's been a shooting over at his place.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, why don't you get over there and see what happened?
Oh, I will, right away, Captain. And then,
And then file a police report.
Yes.
Because you're a police sergeant. And that's what they do.
Yes, of course, Captain. I know all that. I used to be a real estate agent, but now I'm a police officer.
Go!
Do those wrinkles in your shirt got you down, buddy? Are you looking like you slept in your clothes? Well, you need a blast of blast is all in your dryer's wrinkle-free finish cycle. And you'll look like the million bucks you ought to, buddy. There, that's my wrinkle-free blast, buddy. Blast. Blasts out wrinkles and blasts your worries away.
On Dinkus' Pride, Dinkus is torn between the love of his family and his dreams of chasing the stars.
I'm going to the stars. It's what makes me happy.
Until fate intervenes.
Your mother is sick, Dinkus.
And on a brand new episode of There and Mac Again, JC gets a taste of his own medicine.
Oh, this is terrible.
I know. I made it.
And Ed ain't gonna like it. Dinkus and There and Mac Again, back to back. It's gonna be a TBC Sunday night.
I need a nice cola. I need a cola that's nice. I need a nice cola. I need a nice cola. I need a nice cola. I need a cola that's nice. I need a nice cola. Nice cola. Nice
cola. Nice cola.
Once upon a time, all the crops failed in Cornland.
What will we do?
Oh, we're out of niblets.
But then they discovered Golden Nugget frozen corn.
And now we're safe.
Golden Nugget frozen corn. It's like something out of a fairy tale.
Strike, Hardy. Oh, hi, Don. Hi, Don. Hi, Butch. Why are you here? You bowling? Ah, no. Oh, hope you're not here on business.
Business? Are they putting the bowling alley on the market?
No, I'm not a real estate agent anymore, Butchie. I'm a police sergeant.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I'm here to talk about the shooting. Well, we already told everything we know to the detectives who responded to the scene.
Yeah, like I didn't return fire.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Well, my captain asked me to talk to you because he knows we're friends. I guess he thought you might be more candid with me.
Candid? You're calling us liars?
Oh, of course not. But maybe you forgot something or it had to do with your... you know, unofficial detective work or time travel, and I can see you not mentioning that.
You better not mention it, you rat.
Butchie, I'm sorry. Is there some case you're working on that might have gotten you in trouble with dangerous types? Not that I know of. We found a dog for Dolly the seamstress. Oh, she did some alterations for me.
Yeah, good tailor. Hate her dog.
Well, we really don't have any cases going at the moment.
Except the blue envelope.
The blue envelope? Blue envelope, blue folder, blue file. I've never seen it.
An anonymous caller described it over the phone and said it was a dangerous item that would get whoever had it killed. Well, maybe that's that. Do you have it? No, I don't have it. I don't think so. We don't have it, right, Butch? Butchie?
Yeah, you don't have it.
You have it?
Well, not on me. It came in the mail. I immediately hid it because I sensed danger.
Well, that's probably why they came looking for you. But you do know where it is. That's equally dangerous.
Yeah, but there's one good thing about it.
What's that?
I forgot where I put it. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, well, they don't know that. Run!
Hey, Connor.
Go! Watch out, Butch!
They're on the other side.
He headed out the back door. I'll follow him.
I'll circle around.
Hey, Hardy, did you get him? Lost him, Don. Nearly had him. Dang it.
You two are lucky you didn't get killed.
Okay.
And you're lucky you didn't kill anyone. Why did you return fire in a crowded bowling alley?
Sorry, Captain. It was the real estate agent instinct in me. I couldn't resist the urge to a speedy counteroffer.
Now, all of you, go home before you cause more trouble.
But Captain, I think we found out something about the case. There's a blue folder.
I'm about to blow a folder if you don't get out of my office now!
See, somebody isn't interested in solving cases. Come on, Butch. I'm sorry, you guys. I'll walk you out. I'm sorry the captain won't listen, but I will.
Thanks, Don. I mean, we don't have much to go on. Butchie didn't even read the file, so we don't even know what's in it, did you, Butch? Butch?
Maybe a little.
Butchie?
Something about shipping routes or something involving illegal something-something?
Well, that could be a valuable clue.
Hey! That's the guy. That's him in that car there.
Oh, he sees us. Go, go, let's go.
I'll follow you in my police van.
Can you imagine looking at that all day? Hi, I'm broadcaster Hardy White. And that's what radio folks like myself look at when we speak into the microphone. It's the inside of your brain. And it's what gives life to words. Words themselves are symbols with no substance and no objective meaning beyond another's understanding of it. You gotta love it.
There was nothing on the boat, boss, I tell you. I feared as much.
We searched the whole thing. No blue file.
unfortunate. Since if we fail to produce the blue folder, Mr. G will kill us. And yes, I said us.
But we think he mailed it to a private detective named Hardy White.
What? Have you found him?
Yeah, we shot at him twice.
Shot at him? Trying to kill him?
Yeah.
See, you're repeating your mistake. By killing Harris before he could tell you where the file was, you sort of shot yourself in your own foot. Do you see the pattern? If he's dead, he can't be forced to give us the blue envelope. Got it?
Yes, boss.
Now go kidnap Harvey Wyatt or whoever he is and bring him to me. Oh, and a tropical drink. And step on it.
Yes, what's this? Excellent. My sources in the police department have told me where the blue file is. I no longer need those three idiots. Dingo, come here.
Yes, master.
I want you to find and destroy someone named Harty White and bring me the blue file. And when you're done, kill those three idiots in Hawaii.
Find and destroy.
At last, I will have the blue envelope. The blue folder shall be mine.
Destroy Harty White. Find. Kill. The first most obvious question that needs answering is, what's going on? Well, I think what's happening here is that Mr. G has just sent his weird golem goon to kill Harty White. And he looks like Harty White and he sounds like Harty White. So the other bad guys are there to kidnap Harty White. They see the weird goon and they kidnap him and maybe all three kill each other. I'm not sure. And so then Mr. G comes after Harty and Don takes him out and becomes promoted to extra sergeant because they don't want to really promote him. So they create a fake rank called extra sergeant. Or maybe, I know, broker sergeant. That's what they call it. I've been promoted to broker. And that's, you know, it's exciting for him as a former real estate agent. So that's how it ends. Now, what else? What else do you notice about, how did it make you, when you look at any art, yes, the kid's this. How did it make you feel? Well, hopefully it didn't make you feel anything. I didn't want it to do that. You know, it's like, it's supposed to be a neutral ingredient. It's like, how did that make you feel? Well, I don't know. It made me a little dizzy. Oh, whoops, you know, because it's cumin. It's not supposed to do that. I guess it went bad. So how? I don't believe everything make you feel anything. And maybe, you know, if it corresponds with how the artist intended it, that's wonderful. But I would say a lot of times it does not. And you say, well, the better the artist is, and making themselves understood, impossible. That's impossible. Because you say, you know, it's not, it transcends spoken language. It's visual language. It's still a language. So you show someone from a different artistic tradition something you think is great, and they'll think it's ugly and weird. So it isn't the same language, and it might not make them feel the same thing, and they might like it, but for the wrong reason. Could happen with music, could happen with visual art, but there's plenty of things that I think you could like for the wrong reason. I remember when I was in France listening to like French hip hop, and I would think, I don't know if this is cheesy or not. This could be terrible. It might be, it might not be. I have no clue. I don't know what I'm hearing. And then you'd have to like it sort of like intrinsically, and that's dangerous. So, is it? It kind of is. Yeah, it is. I realize that now. Because everything is kind of relative. And sometimes you just, your individual loves and desires and everything just don't trump the cultural context. And I wish it weren't that way, but there's just so many hats you can't wear, literally. There's a lot you can't wear on your head when you just walk down a busy street. I mean, it depends on the street. I'll give you that. But, you know, it'd be lovely if we could just, I wear my fancy hat. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I wish that, you know, you wouldn't get hassled for it. And I'm never sure why. And, you know, I don't think you said, well, should we all capitulate to the bullies? What a great question. Who knows, you know? It depends on your getting punched in the nose tolerance. If you don't mind it, or you yourself are a violent bully, then, those ding-dings are Vicki Bennett. And she was asking me to record something. And I said, yes, I will. And I forgot to shut off. I don't know how the ding-bling-dang got shut on the computer. So that's like a sound effect you're putting in to make it sound like you're in a office. No, it's a sound effect I put in to make it sound like I'm a granddad who doesn't like know how to shut off the blink-a-dink feature. I don't want it to alert me. My mother's phone does that. I go, what is it doing, Mom? I don't know. Every 5 seconds, it makes a really loud sound. And here I go. I love it. I'm enjoying this stage of life. I forgot what we were talking about. No, I didn't. We were talking about the piece that we just got to listen to together. I love listening together with you. I love why. Book clubs are fine, but my concentration, and I don't do the reading, and then I lie about it. So I like the idea of book clubs because I love to chat. And I really do benefit from focused chatting. So where there's a topic or, you know, stay on topic, Hardy. Okay, I'm sorry. I got an exuberant and I just want to keep sharing. Go on. So I do love that. But again, the reading is like, whoa, words. But with a television show watching group, what happens is we usually get together, we watch the episode, and by the end, we're too tired to talk about it. And everybody just hugs and goes home. It's kind of beautiful. I know when people say next Netflix and chill, they mean, let's watch some streaming television and then have relations. But that's not what, you can chill. There's other ways to chill, you know. When you say, I'm going to go, you know, chill the champagne, I go, uh-oh, I don't want it now, I don't think. You know, just I guess if you wipe it off. But words, do they mean anything? Mean whatever you want them to mean. And they mean different things to different people. So you got to be sort of careful because there's dangerous homonyms, things in other languages that sound like slurs and other fraught. Sometimes it's best to have silence or the universal language of Esperanto music. No, there is no universal musical language. I don't believe there is. That, too, is sort of relative. If I were to, you know, here's some hit Chinese records from the 30s, you'd go, oh, yikes. Maybe that's not for me. I don't know. It's more Western than you'd think. But, who knows how you're going to respond, what the context is. Oh, bless you. I remember hearing there was a lot of music that I heard as a kid that I wasn't sure whether it was good or not because of how I had purchased it. Or rather, let me say this, where the record was available, and that was on television. Now, 9 times out of 10, if a record was on television, that wasn't the hippest thing to buy. You're not on the cutting edge of music or popular culture if you're getting the the Ron Popeil version. It's not him doing it. Oh, could you imagine that if it was actually Ron? It was a Ronco, and it was just Ron performing your favorite hits. Yeah. Well, I don't like spiders and snakes. I think that's not the original artist. But I'd get those kind of things, and a lot of times there'd be novelty songs on them, and I didn't know. And I'm sure, absolutely sure, that the Ron Hicklin singers were on a lot of the things that I listened to because they sounded like a cross between the Partridge Family and McDonald's commercials, which aren't terrible, are they? And I would argue that that is just as much American classical music as jazz. Oh my goodness. And that is the background music of television, ad jingles, things that stick with you that don't command your attention, but then get up on, you can't see them, they're invisible like Legionnaire's disease, and but once they're in you, they can change your life. We referred to them, some of them, the catchy tunes and things as earworms, but that's disgusting to me. I do earwash, and you just put it, what it does, it should, like, break up some of the wax, and it's gone. And it gets in, gets the job done, and my music, and even my words, I feel like, they get out of there. And when I hear myself quote, if anybody ever quotes me, I feel like I failed. Because I go, how is it that they remembered that? A lot of times they'll write it down, which is cheating. And I know they write it down, they'll go, oh, I remember you saying this. And I go, I bet you didn't. I bet you wrote it down and then remembered what you wrote down. I'm not calling you a liar. Oh, my friend, I would never do that. By the way, you know, you say what you have to say in whatever situation, you know, like that. I'm going to say, what's your name? Meep Geese? Liar? No. Is that her name? Who was the one that hid? Getting the name wrong. Anne Frank. It's okay to lie. Is it okay to lie to yourself? Yes, on your deathbed. And, yeah, sometimes, therapeutically. If everybody has allowed it. You can get permission. Get permission to lie to yourself. Because sometimes it's not good, and the group doesn't want it. But then other times they go, yeah, you definitely are a candidate for self-deception. Do it. Okay. Yeah, I think you should do it. All right. I feel like I should too. It might invite, you know, signing up for something is the good step. That's a good way. I tell you, if you've done that, here, I love you so much. Like we're both on this journey together. You know that. So if I say something, it's in love. If you've signed up for something as a way of transforming your life, de-sign because you've just, you're going to come out the other side anyway and say, oh, I've learned something from that. Learn it before you have to go do it. Oh, my goodness, you're listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU, East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Oh, my goodness, I will see you again next week. Yeah.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.
Hey, Georgie. Hey, Georgie. Hey, Georgie. Hey, gorgeous. Hey, gorgeous. Do you know what it feels like to be tied up? Yeah. And licked from head to toe. Do you want to know? Can make you scream, baby.